Proverbs chapter number 10. We're going to start by reading with verse number 9. And he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but the prating fool shall fall. In the mouth of righteous men is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers a multitude. But love covereth all sin. I like that. All sin. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but the rod is for the back of him which is void of understanding. Verse 14 will be last for today. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Let's go ahead and bow our head for a word of prayer, and we'll review a little bit, then we'll get back into the study. Father, thank you so much for what we've learned in the book of Proverbs already. Guide us, direct us, and help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you questions. You help me, okay? Who can tell me what the word wisdom means? The word wisdom means to look at, help me, look at? Look at life or the world from God's point of view. That's right. To look at who else? Ourselves and others. That's right. And others. So that we know how God looks at us and how we're supposed to look and treat other people. And then we found another word that always seems to run with wisdom. Does anybody know what that word is?
Understanding.
Understanding. What's that mean? That means to
try to understand the wisdom.
Okay.
To
accept it, that's right. To apply it. And go ahead. To accept it, to apply it, and to comprehend it, right? All right. So now we are in a second section of the book of Proverbs. The first section was just about all of God's wisdom, why it's there, why we need it, how it changes our life. The how-tos of the introduction, really, of the book of Proverbs. Now we're into an antithetic statements. Antithetic statements are opposite statements. First statement is one thing, the next statement is the exact opposite. And so we've been looking at that over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to continue to look at that. Now I'm going to interject the statement here. We're not going to look at every book or every verse in the rest of the book of Proverbs. Okay? A lot of this is we're learning how to learn from it, learning how to apply it. What do these verses mean? And though we'll go through the rest of the book of Proverbs, I'm not going to read every verse, okay? We're not going to look at every verse and say, this is what this verse means. What we're doing is we're getting enough information so that we can read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis, understand what God's telling us to do, looking at life from His perspective, not ours, not what we've grown up with. Not what the world calls wisdom, but from His perspective. And then applying that and accepting that into our lives, actually living it by it. And so we need to read the book of Proverbs every day and draw new nuggets of information from it as we understand how God has provided it to us. Amen? So most of the rest of the book of Proverbs is going to be like this, antithetical statements, okay? So let's go ahead and begin, I believe, with verse number 9. I think that's where we stopped last week, okay? Verse number 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Alright, the two words there is walketh uprightly and he that walketh perversely. The word perverse means twisted. Alright, he's perverted that which was right. Took that which was right and twisted it in his own direction. So he that walketh uprightly walketh sure. Doesn't have to go back and check to see what he said. Then have to go back and check to see what his life is like. In other words, he lives right. He does right. He talks right. He's not lying. He's not cheating. He's not swindling people. He's not trying to hide stuff. If you try to lie or cheat or hide stuff, you forget what you're hiding. You forget what you said. I know some people that whole life is a lie. Everything they say is a lie, and every day it's a new story, and the same old thing, but it's all a new story. It's kind of interesting to find out all the different things that happened in their life that never happened to begin with, but now it's their new part of life. But they'd forgotten the old part because it wasn't real. Amen? And there are people like that. There's a lot of people like that. A lot of us, let me just put it that way, a lot of us people, we exaggerate things much more than they are. We run from things that aren't really there. Why? Because we don't live righteously. We don't walk uprightly. The word uprightly refers to the doing of right, to telling the truth, being sincere. Because we twist life. The more we twist life, that word twist, or that word in verse number 9, perverteth his ways, is somebody who's twisting his ways, trying to sneak around. Listen, I don't have to worry about cheating on my wife, or remember what I said to my wife so I can go out and cheat, because I don't cheat on my wife. I don't have to worry about where she goes, and she doesn't have to worry about where I go, because we know that we can trust each other Amen? So I'm not going to pervert the way. I'm not going to twist it into my way of living, right? So, in other words, we need to live right. The person who perverts his way really is living, trying to live two lives. The real life he lives and the life they make up. Okay? So, we need to not twist our way, pervert our way. By the way, sooner or later it's going to be exposed. That's what it says. So the upright person walks sure. He doesn't have anything to worry about. The one who perverts his way, he's got to look over his shoulder all the time because he's going to be discovered. He's going to be exposed that he lied or he cheated or what he is, what they are. And it goes for men and for women and for boys and for girls. It goes for everybody. Amen? All right. We're going to skip verse number 10 because that was pretty much covered in verse number 8. Amen? Now, talking about a prating fool and the way that they are. And again, it says in verse number 8, the wise in heart shall receive commandments. Here it says, he that winketh with his eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fail. So it's talking about how we, the statement there connected to verse number 8. And so God wants us to do the right thing, walk right, speak right. Don't speak out of both sides of our mouth. Amen. And just keep going in the right direction. Verse number 11. Verse number 11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Wicked does not mean sinner. Wicked means is a form of evil, which is intentionally to hurt somebody else. So when we run our mouth against somebody, what we're trying to do is we're saying negative things, hurtful things, on purpose to make ourselves look better. Listen, I am who I am. You are who you are. Let's just face who we are and be who we are and not have to try to make ourselves better than somebody else. Let's just go ahead and just live right. So let's look at this verse again. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. So we see, what is it? The mouth is stated in both the beginning statement and the second statement. So the mouth is a well of life for a righteous man, one who lives right, lives by God's wisdom. The mouth of a man who is a wicked man causes or covers violence. So here, violence is coming as a result of this. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt. That's what it's saying here. Okay? So, no, I don't need to be negative. I don't need to be critical. I don't need to be judgmental. I just need to do right. Let me put it this way too, okay? I'm so busy, or I should be, and you should be, so busy taking care of our own selves, we don't have time to talk about somebody else or to criticize somebody else. It takes all my energy, and it takes all of my time just to take care of me. I constantly find out things about me that make me mad about me. Amen? I'm constantly seeing places I need to improve. I got some bad news the other day. I didn't like the news I received. I was kind of grumpy about it. And I said to myself, what am I doing talking so much about it? And I apologized to the person that was with me at the time. I said, listen, I'm sorry. He said, no. He said, I'd be much worse. And I said, doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. That's my flesh talking, I said. And I'm supposed to encourage others. That's what our job is. So I need to take care of me. I don't need to be somebody else's judge. Amen? All right, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife. Love covereth all sin. So we see the two opposite words. Hatred versus love. Hatred versus love. Hatred stirreth up strife. When we hate something, we're always trying to stir up the pot. Amen? Strife also comes from the word fires, or to bank a fire. My wife and I were younger. We lived up in northern Michigan. We were pastoring our first church. And we lived on a street called King Street. And the house was a very small little cottage. And it was heated with a wood stove. That was our heat. It would snow so deep there that two to three times a winter, I would crawl up on the roof of the house and have to shovel the snow off the roof so that the roof would not fall in. When cars would go up and down the road, the only time we knew it in the wintertime is because we saw the top tips of their antenna going down the road. That's how deep our snow would fall up in the northern portion of Michigan where we were at that time. We had a wood stove. I'd go out there and split it. The wood, we'd cut wood, split wood. I'd work up a sweat doing that, bring it in the house, and the wood stove would heat the house so well that we would open up the doors and the windows to let the heat escape because it heated up so well. But at nighttime, you had to bank the fire. And that's an old-fashioned term, and we don't use it much today because we use gas heat, electric heat, so on like that. A lot of us don't use coal or wood anymore. But we used to bank the fire. That means we'd turn the damper down so not so much air would flow through it, and we'd pack it up with wood so that it would burn all through the night. It would bring the temperature down a little bit because the air wasn't going up the flue to cause the fire to flame up, and it would turn everything into coals. All the wood would become red coals. You'd open up the door and the wood stove to put more wood in it in the morning, and you'd see the whole thing radiating red because the coals of wood got so hot. Sometimes we'd be able to get some coal somewhere, and we'd throw a little coal in there, and the coal would burn longer, stay hotter, and the oil would get cool at nighttime in the bedrooms because they weren't where the wood stove was at. But that was the old-fashioned way of heating things. And so you'd bank the fire. You'd have to put stuff in there so that the fire would constantly, constantly burn and burn and burn and burn. And that's what strife does. It's a constant burning and burning and burning and burning. And the word strife means fires or the banking like in a stove. It would constantly burn and burn and burn. However, love's not that way. Love is the opposite of that. Love doesn't want to destroy, burn, consume. Because that's what fire does. It burns and consumes. You can't go back and put something back together from the ashes that are left. And so that's what hatred does. Hatred stirreth up strifes or causes these fires to burn without ceasing. But love covereth all sin. None of us are perfect. Where do you start? None of us are perfect. I told somebody today, I said, listen, I'm a liar just like you are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned. I wish I could look at everybody and say, I have never said anything incorrect in my life. But then you know I was lying because I'm just like you and all of us have. But the truth is that we all have sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all done wrong. We've all told lies. And so, what I need to do then is love so that, and love others so that my sin is covered like their sin is. So if I'm going to hold people accountable and try to stir up strife all the time because nobody's perfect, well, nobody's perfect. That includes me. That includes you. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, and nobody's perfect. Because nobody's perfect, then love each other. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. My wife and I have been together, it'll be 36 years that we dated each other this year. 34 of those years we've been married to each other this year. It's a long time. We live with each other every day. All the time. Hour after hour. Day after day. Week after week. Year after year. Decade after decade. She's seen everything out of me. I've seen everything out of her. We both have messed up a lot. But you know what love does? It covers all that up. It's not important. It's not important. Life goes on. When it's all said and done, life goes on. When I think of that, I think of my brother Dean, who just lost his wife in death. And I'm sure he doesn't sit there and concentrate on what she used to do that irritated him now. He only thinks about that good. I had my mom and dad here for a lot of years, and they've been gone now for a lot of years. And I could probably come up and make a good list of things that bug me about my parents. But that's not what I think about. I miss my mom. I miss my dad. I think about how much they did for me. How much life they gave me. The lessons, life lessons that they taught me. The way they sacrificed themselves for me. That's what parents do. I know, I'm a parent. That's what grandparents do. I understand that. But those were my parents. And I love them. They weren't perfect parents. I wasn't a perfect child. But you know what love does? It covers a multitude of sins. In fact, not just a multitude. This verse says all sin. If God loves you, which He does, then He loves us in spite of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, yet He paid the price for us because He loved us, for God so loved the world. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. So love then covers all sin. Alright? Let's go to the next verse then. Verse 13. The lips of him that hath understanding. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. So here we have one who has wisdom and one who doesn't have wisdom, one who has no understanding. Because you can't have any kind of understanding without God's wisdom. Amen? And so there's no wisdom for him. So what's found with the lips of them that have understanding and wisdom? We find wisdom's there. Understanding's there. Good words are there. We're not speaking of education here. Okay? This is not speaking of education. This is not speaking about the things of the world. We're not speaking about successful businessmen and businesswomen. We're not talking about successful people in life. This is not speaking of that. We're talking about wise men who know God, walk with God, understand life from God's perspective, understand themselves and how to treat others from God's perspective. That's what's being referred to here. All right, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Where did that understanding come from? God, because they heard it, they accepted it, they comprehended it, and they applied it. And now, as they speak, it comes from them. It's so much a part of them. It's the way they speak. I don't know. I'm kind of a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bowl a lot of times. And I'll say amen in public when I hear good news. Somebody who doesn't not even saved, doesn't even go to church, will say, tell me some good news, and I go, amen, that's good. Glory to God. It's just a part of my speech now. It's so much a part of me that it doesn't matter if I'm in church to say amen, or if it's just good news I get. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. I say those words on a regular basis. all around, everywhere I go, every place I'm involved with. Why? Because there's so much a part of me, because that's the way I think now. Wasn't that way when I first got saved? I fought not to swear. I fought not to use bad language. I fought not to think bad thoughts. I found it difficult not to be jealous of somebody else's success. But in the Christian world, as you grow in Christ and in the power of God and in the understanding of His Word, things become a part of you. And that's what happens when you become a person of wisdom and understanding. Now when you talk to others, it kind of flows from you. It's just a part of you. So, wise men speak, and it's something that has value to it. Notice the rest of the verse here. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. The rod is punishment. Okay, so it gives us, you're going to have understanding from heaven, wisdom from heaven, or you're going to get a whipping. The world's going to beat the fire out of you. Okay, the world is coming after you. I wish I could say the world's not coming after you. But the world comes after everybody. And so the only way I know how to handle it from the world, from the Word of God, is by running to God and getting His view of it and applying His view and accepting His view. And then when I speak to others, I'm going to speak of those views because they're going to be a part of me. If I don't get that way, correction is coming. Spankings are coming. Punishments are coming. Heartaches are coming. Heartbreaks are coming. Doesn't mean that somebody who's saved us is going to have heartaches. Doesn't say that. Okay? It's just saying that as he goes through them, his response to them is different. Amen? Alright? So then, let's look at verse 14, because they're kind of connected. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Again, we are not talking about education. It's good to be educated. I'm not against schooling. Everybody ought to go to school. Lord knows I got enough schooling to choke a couple horses. Everybody needs to be educated. But that's not what's being referred to here. Let's look at the verse again. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So we see in both verses, 13 and 14, the mouth is what always seems to run. Like a commode that just won't quit running. Is the mouth of somebody who's a fool. Lacks wisdom, period. But in verse 14, a wise man layeth up knowledge. Not only does he obtain it from God, he lays it up. He hides it in his heart. He puts it in his mind. He's not always saying everything that's there. Did you ever meet someone that says everything that comes to their mind? And you wish they wouldn't? Because you don't want to hear how bad their mind really is. And then there's some people that never speak at all. You know, sometimes I think the people that never speak at all are probably wiser than the people that run their mouth all the time. So wisdom, a wise person, a wise man doesn't say all he knows. He lays up that knowledge for another time, for another application. I was speaking to somebody this week, and I listened to what they had to say. And it was an unwise person. And I wanted to rebuke them. I really did. I wanted to just straighten them out. But I remember what we studied in chapter number 8 and chapter number 9. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. You rebuke a fool, he's going to hate you. Why? Because he's not asking for your advice. He doesn't want to know how to go. He just wants his way, period. Like a little infant, throwing his fit till he gets his way. So sometimes it's better not to say anything at all. Because a wise man knows when to refrain from his speaking. Right? Which means we need to stop here. I need to refrain from my speaking. So we'll start with verse number... what do we stop at? 14? We'll start with verse 15 next week. Alright? So, because I want to continue to look at these verses as we go through this chapter so we can see the positive and the negatives. The positive statements and the negative statements. The righteous statement and the foolish statements. So we can make these comparisons so that we know how to react. So, one of the things I've learned tonight that seems to stick out is I need to be careful what I say. Have you noticed that? And I need to love other people because it covers all sin. There's no reason to dwell on sin. We're all guilty of it, so let's move on. Amen. So those are really two things that seem to jump out at me in the book of Proverbs so far this week. Father, thank you so much for what we've learned. Holy Spirit, make it a part of our life. Help us to